local. Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
We are joined by Chris Biederman, Sacramento Bee, and the Candlestick Chronicles. Chris, thank you for joining us. Doesn't look like you're in Vegas, but maybe you're at a cool Airbnb or something. Chris, before we get into all things Niners and Kings, what is your pet peeve when you fly? Do you clap? Okay. Do you stand up early? Does it bother you? Give us a pet peeve or something you don't like when you are flying.
I'm out on reclining the seat. I'm about 6'1". I often travel in coach. Don't often upgrade to the more premium legroom sections. I get an exit row whenever I can, but I'm very much I don't like when people recline the seat on me, so I don't recline the seat on anybody else. I'm hoping karma pays me off that way, but I'm just out. So I got my pillow, and when I need to sleep, I'm sleeping sitting up. It's not the most comfortable thing, but I think karma's going to be on my side with that one.
All right. That's fair enough. Now, seriously, though, you aren't in – are you not going to be in Vegas?
I'm not going to be in Vegas. Okay. I will actually be – I'll be traveling to Oklahoma City. I'll be doing Kings Thunder on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll be doing the podcast afterwards anyway also. So.
All righty. Well, we will send you our regards, Oklahoma City. Vegas, not too different in my estimation.
I mean, it's one and the same, basically. Yeah. Brick town, the
exactly.
Strip,
blue collar, all those types of things. Chris, exactly. Give us your thoughts on the Kings and this road trip. Chris and I, we weren't trying to poke holes in it, and it was a very solid road trip. One win away from joining some rare air with the elite Spurs and Warriors teams. Don't get it done. And if you look at, I think the reason you can't really poke holes in it is because there have probably been easier road trips in the past and teams haven't played this well. But if you do look at some of these teams, Chris, you said they are 13-14 against teams over 500. Yep. So they're beating up teams that they should. And then the game last night, you can't be mad at them for losing, but it would have been really nice to get that W to end the road trip.
Yeah. And just, you know, like, what are the things we always talk about with the Kings, right? It's usually defense. It's usually physicality. And with the way Cleveland was able to score and score efficiently, obviously that's not something the Kings would want. I would say overall, though, it was a solid road trip, 5-2 over a 7-game trip. That includes some East Coast cities. That's pretty solid for them. And you know, Harrison Barnes has gotten going a little bit lately. Domantas Sabonis continues to light up the stat sheet. So overall, I would say that's a really good sign for them. And they're through a portion of their schedule. I forget exactly what the numbers were, but it was, you know, they've had two pretty long road trips here. And they're on a pretty good streak in terms of what the record's been over the month of January and now leading into February. So overall, I would say it's about as solid of a trip as it could be. And look, like, this all comes right before the deadline, right? And they're given how the Kings have been talked about, so many movable pieces, right? And you wonder, is human nature ever going to set in? And are these guys ever going to read too much into the rumors and everything like that? And is that going to cause them to play poorly? No, we haven't really seen it. You know, Kevin Huerter's been a little bit better lately. Harrison Barnes, obviously, his scoring's up. These are guys who have been mentioned in trade rumors. So the fact that they're not slumping and they're actually playing better than they did earlier in the season would indicate a level of professionalism and that these guys don't feel like they're pressing because they might be on the trade block. So overall, I think those are positive developments for the Kings.
Yeah, Chris. I mean, in general, it's something we've been kind of tossing back and forth. Do you feel like the Kings' success, like, just overall in terms of getting the results, and the fact that, like you said there, Harrison Barnes has played a lot better, and Kevin Huerter as well has kind of started to become a little bit more normal in terms of what we've come to expect from him. Do you think that their recent success in general plays a factor into how they will approach this deadline?
Yeah, I think so. I also just don't know that there's a deal out there that makes a whole lot of sense for them, right? Like, their best trade chip is Keegan Murray, and they're very clearly not gonna trade Keegan for anything that's out there right now. And you know, I don't know how interested the Kings were ever really in Zach LaVine, but my feeling being around the team is that, you know, they view this in a similar way to last year, to where they like the core that they have. They like the locker room chemistry that they have. And, you know, they play sort of a unique brand in the sense that you can't just throw anybody into it. You know, like the brand they play offensively is so reliant on basketball IQ and chemistry and feel that you can't just go add somebody without potentially throwing everything off. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, I just don't know what deal is out there for them that's drastically going to change who they are. And I think, you know, Kevin Huerter is a streaky player, right? And if you trade him just because, you know, he had a poor shooting start to the season, you're probably trading him when his value's low. And if he ends up, you know, we saw last year he had 5-6 week stretches where he'd shoot almost 50% from the 3-point line.
Right.
And he completely changes the dynamics of the Kings offense when you have an outlet like that who can, you know, who can be among the league's best from 3-point range. So there's still the possibility that Kevin Huerter can be that guy for the Kings at some point in the, you know, maybe it's this month, maybe it's next month. And you know, maybe if they trade him while his value was low, that deal ultimately doesn't end up getting you what you want or what you need to really improve. Whereas keeping him and just getting improved shooting could be a big difference there. So I just don't know. Looking at the landscape, it's definitely not a buyer's market, and the Kings aren't going to trade Keegan Murray. And with you know, OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam moved, I just don't know what deals are potentially out there that would make sense. And with Zach LaVine done for the year, it just doesn't seem like there's really a difference maker available for the Kings. And so they might just stand pat and hope their group can improve off last year and they can make a deep run into the playoffs than they did last spring.
Talking to Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles and the Sacramento Bee. Chris, with everything going on, what was your initial takeaway from, I know Chris has a question about Grassgate, but besides that, what was, did you have any takeaways from Super Bowl opening night last night?
I thought Kyle Shanahan had some really interesting things to say about game manager and system quarterback, and sort of dispelling all of that that narrative, I guess, for lack of a better word. Like what he said that most interested me, he said there's three things you need from a quarterback. He has to run the system, obviously, which is what they practice all the time. He has to manage the game, you know, being a game manager. You have to spike the ball at the right time. You have to get in and out of the huddle. You have to run you have to know when to throw the ball away. You have to know, you know, clock management, all of those things. That's all managing the game, you know, also being a game manager. And then you have to make plays. And so Brock Purdy has clearly shown throughout the season that he can make plays. And so that third factor is really what differentiates him from the game manager, from the system quarterback label. And that was the point that Kyle Shanahan was making, whether it's, you know, Brock Purdy making plays with his legs late in the Lions game or Brock Purdy making plays outside of structure, which we even saw last year, right? He had an ability to escape and make plays. So that's always been part of Brock Purdy's game. And Kyle Shanahan just basically said, like, he does all three of those things, which is what you want from a good quarterback. Now, whether or not, you know, Brock Purdy is an elite quarterback or one of the five quarterbacks you draft, if you could draft all the quarterbacks in the league, like, it's really non-material. Like, it doesn't matter, right? Like, the 49ers are in the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy playing at a relatively high level. So that's all that matters in the 49ers' mind. And I think they have unwavering belief that they can win the Super Bowl with him and that he'll be the starting quarterback for the long haul. I want one thing, like, even if Brock Purdy comes out and plays pretty poorly on Sunday, I still think, like, he's going to be the team's quarterback next year. I think it would have to take a pretty catastrophic Super Bowl and maybe a catastrophic regular season next year for them to ever consider moving off of him. And so my big takeaway just overall is how much belief the 49ers have in Brock Purdy long term, and that this is not just like a flash in the pan thing where you know, they're just riding a hot hand. They really think this guy could be their franchise guy for a long time.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, Alan said it there, but I'm going to ask you about Grassgate. Yesterday, Shanahan seemed to kind of downplay it a bit, said, you know, we're really not super concerned about it. But at the same time, there's tons of reports about, you know, all of the back workings of them trying to get locked down a facility. And I guess the Chiefs denied them the ability to share the Raiders practice facility. Just in general, you could take it wherever most intrigued you, but what were your thoughts on Grassgate, and is it at all anything that's going to impact the game at all on Sunday?
Only if somebody gets hurt during practice, but I do doubt that that would happen, knock on wood, right? We don't want anyone to get hurt. But my big takeaway generally is that, you know, the 49ers probably had their most physically demanding practices last week in Santa Clara,
right,
on their home field. And during the regular season, they typically don't, like, their practices are typically glorified walkthroughs. So it's not, they're not doing a ton of stuff that would allow guys to get hurt. It's more about focusing on installing the game plan and being where you need to be positionally, schematically, all of those things. So, you know, if they're basically running glorified walkthroughs on these grass fields, I wouldn't be terribly concerned about the conditions. But yeah, it's a bad look for the league. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
That, you know, you have one team set up in a brand new, I don't know how much the Raiders facility costs, but it looks amazing from what I've seen. Yeah. State of the art, you know, they have three fields outside, they have a turf field inside.
Crazy.
And the Niners are playing on excuse me, they're practicing on grass that's laid out over artificial turf without like a base layer being put down. It just seems haphazard and unnecessary, and it does seem unfair. So the fact that the league doesn't seem to be taking or sharing a whole lot of responsibility in this and just kind of sweeping it under the rug, I think is a bad look. And again, if the Niners lose the game, I severely doubt that it's going to be because of whatever the practice field was like. But I think the thing I would say is that I doubt these practices are going to be like full intensity. So I would expect them to be fine just having sort of these glorified walkthroughs on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
All right, Chris, no reason, no explanation who wins Sunday.
You know what? I'm going with the Niners. I've thought a lot about it. You know, it's impossible to bet against Patrick Mahomes, but I also look at the fact that it's just really hard to repeat. And I think the broader sample size, despite what's happened the last few weeks, the broader sample size says the Niners are top to bottom the better team. And I'm going to rely on that in making this pick, in that the Niners have been better throughout the season. I know the Chiefs have been better in the playoffs. The Niners defense has been kind of problematic over these last few weeks, but I actually think in a weird way that helps the 49ers. It lights a fire under them to understand that they need to play with more urgency defensively and with more effort than they did against Detroit and Green Bay, because this is a giant that they have to slay right here. And emotionally, look, this is the Chiefs. You know, this is their fourth Super Bowl in the last 5 years, I think, that there's just no way that the Chiefs can have the same emotional edge as the 49ers, given that they just won it last year, given that the Niners have come so close and dealt with bitter defeat so many times leading up to this, given the fact that, you know, the Chiefs were the last team that they played in the Super Bowl. I just think the 49ers are going to have the emotional edge. It's so hard to repeat. We haven't seen it since 2005, 2006, 2004, 2005. With the Patriots. So it's really hard to repeat. And for those reasons, I'm picking the Niners.
There you go. Chris Biederman, Sacramento Bee, Candlestick Chronicles. Thank you as always, Chris. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All righty. Got to get to a break. When we get back, you'll never believe what the mayor of Las Vegas had to say about the A's. Or maybe you will. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
Thank you again to Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee and Candlestick Chronicles. Real quick before we get into this A's talk, this is per Woj. I'm not victory lapping here. This is just what's being said. This is on Woj's pod. Kyle Kuzma, Malcolm Brogdon, Bojan Bogdanovic appear unlikely to be traded before Thursday's deadline.
That's interesting.
So, there you go.
Well, I mean, the Bojan Bogdanovic, like, can the Pistons let that man live, please?
No, they were trying to be buyers.
Got him trapped.
They were trying to be buyers. And you had Cade Cunningham just last week
talk about during the game. He said somebody said something about getting traded. He said, "Please."
He said,
"It wouldn't say please." He said, "He basically said, get me out of here. The Pistons are a complete mess."
I feel like, you know, that meme of that dude who's yelling at the cat in the bodega. Yeah. "I'm gonna get you out of here. Yeah. Okay, we gonna find out how to get you out of here." That's how I feel about Bojan Bogdanovic. It's like this guy can literally impact playoff series, and he's just sitting there in Detroit, just wasting away. And it's like, you know, can you just a late first or something? How can I interest you in moving off of Bojan Bogdanovic? Because I think he would be a great under-the-radar guy that the Kings could bring in and have huge impact. That's a guy who can shoot, put the ball on the floor. He's been in playoff series in the past and has performed really well in them. That's really disappointing, too, because I think he has one more year left on his contract after this. So I have no idea what Detroit's trying to do. I guess the Kuzma thing makes a little bit of sense. They kind of have to be wowed by an offer, but
yeah.
Bojan Bogdanovic, man, get that dude some help, please.
I'm actually surprised. Now it just makes me even more thankful that the Raptors deals did happen, because we could have lived in a world where we were talking
the
about
amount
that.
Of first round picks at this point that Masai would be requesting. He's like, "Oh, I don't know, it's pretty quiet out there, so if you really want our guys, like, give me every first round pick you got.
And your first unborn child.
First unborn. I'm telling you, the rights to Rain Fox, man. He was
ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Scary. All right. Got some A's talk here. We have sound, and actually now the mayor of Las Vegas, Carolyn Goodman, has, since this audio posted from Front Office Sports, since this interview posted, she has now said something else, right? Not a full walk back, but something like it. Let's hear from Carolyn what she originally said when she was interviewed by Front Office Sports.
"We have a very large complex, probably about 60 acres. We probably could cobble together more land so they could possibly have 100 acres. And it's in the historic old part of town, which is where all major interstate highways come together. We have 7 access points to it. It is in an opportunity zone. There are all these benefits. And so when they said no, I thought, this doesn't make sense. And so why is it happening? And then I thought, well, because they really want to stay in Oakland. They want to be on the water. They have that magnificent dream, and yet they can't get it."
Would it be a good thing if the A's do, in fact, move to the Tropicana?
I personally, I'm not talking about anybody else, anywhere else in this community. I personally think they've got to figure out a way to stay in Oakland to make their dream come true.
So that came out, and it quickly set wildfire everywhere, because this is the mayor of Las Vegas basically saying they need to stay in Oakland. So now, that was earlier this morning. Now, an hour ago, this is from Carolyn Goodman's Twitter, says, "Statement on today's conversation about the Oakland A's." And this is what she says. "I want to be clear that I am excited about the prospect of Major League Baseball in Las Vegas, and it very well may be that the Las Vegas A's will become a reality that we will welcome to our city. On February 5th, 2024, I was interviewed for the Front Office Sports podcast. It was one of many interviews about the rise of Major League Sports in Las Vegas and how this weekend Super Bowl is a milestone in my and in and how this weekend Super Bowl is a milestone in my and former Mayor Oscar Goodman's pursuit of sports teams for Las Vegas. We discussed several topics, for including the Oakland A's, for about 7 minutes, and I mentioned the passionate fans of Oakland who often visit our city to cheer on the Raiders. My points included that it is my belief that in their perfect world, the ownership of the A's would like to have a new ballpark on the water in Oakland, and that the ownership and government there should listen to their great fans and try to make that dream come true. Should that fail, Las Vegas has shown that it is a spectacular market for major sports franchises."
Wow, what a great quote.
So she didn't walk it back.
She should have said that.
But she didn't walk it back at all.
No, not really. But that definitely sounds a whole lot better than what she went out there and said.
Yeah.
It's not a great look, for sure. I mean, even the headline itself is already done the damage that I think is going to be hard to undo. The fact that you have headlines out there saying mayor of Las Vegas says she doesn't believe, you know, or I guess she technically said Oakland is the place.
Should stay in
which,
in Oakland.
Yes, should stay in Oakland. That's going to do a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. And even I don't think that there's any undoing of what she's saying, but it's also very telling that, you know, she's been somebody who's brought in franchises to Las Vegas. I guess she's not in charge or doesn't oversee like the strip of Las Vegas, but I guess she was very involved in the passing of the legislation to get the Las Vegas Knights there, right, to get the Aces over there, and is trying to get an NBA team, from what I understand, over there as well. So it's just interesting that somebody who's been a champion of bringing all of these sports to Las Vegas seems a little hesitant about this specific move to Las Vegas. And
right,
you tie that on top of everything else that we're hearing and things that you've heard, it just doesn't sound like this situation is going to end up in Las Vegas.
No. And look,
forget Oakland. It just seems like Vegas is not happening.
It's just not as clean as the other ones, right? This one just seems murky. Yeah. The actual plans are not really thought out. You talk about haphazard. It just seems like a complete mess. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next, but it feels like nobody does. And this plan just wasn't fully baked out, unfortunately. And I don't know how they would stay in Oakland. I don't know how that comes back around. But, you know, you're burning a lot of bridges here.
Yeah.
And there just seems to be no plan. And when you don't have a plan and you act on emotion, which seems to be what John Fisher initially did, that's a problem. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Charvarius Ward was ready to turn up in Vegas. Did Kyle Shanahan do the same? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
The Milwaukee Bucks are showing strong interest, in quotes, in Dorian Finney-Smith. That is per Ian Begley, who is a reporter covering the Knicks and Nets for SNY-TV. Also, Trey Young and Scottie Barnes will replace Julius Randle and Joel Embiid in the All-Star game. So now that two guys, and you really didn't hear a lot about Scottie Barnes being snubbed, but heard a lot about Trey Young being snubbed. There was actually a clip of Trey Young talking to Steph Curry, and the lip readers out there said Steph said it's all politics. Mm. So Trey Young gets in. That's the Eastern Conference snub gets in. And I don't know who's injured, who possibly couldn't play. I'm just going to guess Paul George. I'm always going to guess the Clipper.
Yeah, right. Paul George, Kawhi are some good normal suspects. AD, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody currently looking at any bumps and bruises. But, again, you know, we have, I think, two more weeks until the All-Star game itself, which is just crazy. It feels like once the sports calendar gets going – It especially right now, we're going to have the Super Bowl, and then we're going to have the trade deadline the same week as the Super Bowl, and then we're going to have the All-Star game after, and then next thing we know, it's going to be the playoffs. But for the most part, it doesn't look like there's anybody, though. Who knows? One of those Suns guys who could go down as well, so who knows?
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with the Kings and the All-Star situation. It's kind of blown over now. They should still continue to play with that chip on their shoulder and really make it count. Let's get to Charvarius Ward now. This was last week when he said something that had... It's interesting how... You know what? I'll save this for after the fact. Here is Charvarius Ward and what he had to say last week when he got asked about Vegas.
Well, this Super Bowl in Vegas, so might turn up a little bit the first day or two out there, but after that, really just lock in, you know what I'm saying, focus. The whole week is really like a movie. Like, you're going to see celebrities everywhere. Pre-game on the field, you might see Jay-Z. Beyonce, you know what I'm saying, Kevin Hart, people like that. But
so that's what he said. He said a little bit more than that, but can't play that on these airwaves. So that's what he said, right? And people were actually upset about it, right? I saw people, come on, man, you can't say stuff like that. He said a day or the first day or two out there, okay? Mm-hmm. That's Traverius Ward. He is a player.
Yeah.
All right? Now, there was a – and Chris Biederman, who we had on from Sacramento Bee, we are not going to say whether or not Kyle Shanahan was sippy-sippy. We don't know. We don't know. There were people saying that it sounded like he was.
Yes.
And we're just going to play this audio and go from there. This is Kyle Shanahan, I guess, the question. I think this is the one about Brock Purdy and not the game manager one, because that one he nailed. But there was another one out there where it was just a little slurry. Let's just hear from Kyle Shanahan.
Well, it's funny to hear Jed say that, because it wasn't the smartest moment I've ever had. I mean, when owner comes in after training camp practices and is like, hey, how's the quarterback? And what he means is the starter or the second. And you in irritation go, I don't know, but our third guy's the best. Like, that's not what he wants to hear. So that's why he remembers it very strong. But that was just more, Brock was so good right away with every rep he got. He was always the same. And he only got a couple of them. So it was easy for me to say.
Do you have more, Nate? There's a little bit more.
In his few reps, he was the best. But if you know that for a fact, I mean, then you do what you do right away. But he was the best. But you ease that on. And every time he got a little more reps, it was the same as when he got two. And so when it was all said and done and he got a lot of playing time, I was like, oh, this looks exactly like what I told you when I was irritated. And he only had three reps. And I said, no, he's the best. But that's what was so real about Brock. That's why after his seven games his rookie year, even when he got hurt, we knew what we had, because he'd been that way in practice every day, and it was the exact same way in the games.
What do you think?
Well,
it's not even a speculate.
It's definitely a spirited Kyle Shanahan. Like, I mean, it's just it could honestly be is in the typical setting in which we hear Kyle Shanahan, he's usually not thrilled. It's just like after practice,
right.
Very rarely is he in a cheery, happy, definitely not very talkative mood. And I'm just going to play devil's advocate here, and I'm going to say that maybe he was just excited to be on the stage. And I guess last time in 2016 when he was up at the podium, he was very stoic and kind of got a lot of flack for not being open and essentially being the Kyle Shanahan that we see every week. So maybe I'm not saying that there weren't influences in there, but I'm just saying in general, maybe he just decided however that comes about. I just think he maybe decided, hey, let's be a little bit more cheery. Let's be a little bit more excitable here, because all of this is at the same time for, especially yesterday, that's all for TV.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot on the line for Kyle Shanahan.
Yes.
So if something was sipped on to maybe loosen up
a
little bit.
Saying.
And also just feeling more confident. Maybe he felt the way he did or looked the way he looked in 2019 because he knew he had Jimmy G.
Going he was stressing.
And going up against, and he didn't have Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So going up against the Chiefs,
he was in
and the
lab.
Chiefs did have Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
And they still had a chance to win.
Yeah.
So if not for a Jimmy G overthrow. So I think there was a combination of things. Obviously, we don't know. I thought it was interesting that I saw more people upset at Charvarius Ward for even bringing it up than I did for what it sounded like with Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
It was, our coach is just like us. I saw a lot of that last night.
No, you
got to
keep the same energy,
for sure. And it's just, are you just saying that because you have no choice? I saw only a couple people. And I'm not saying you have to be, hey, how dare you? It's 6 days.
Yeah.
You got to focus. Mama mentality. People, you know, you should never do anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying don't get mad at Charvarius Ward. If Charvarius Ward gets smoked, he's going to hear it. And
he sure
if that
is.
Leads to Kyle Shanahan, I guess it's a culture thing, right? If you know your coach is out there. We just don't know what happened. Nate, as a Niner fan, did you care? If
not
so,
really.
Okay.
I didn't love the Charvarius Ward statement.
So you disliked Charvarius Ward more than the fact that Kyle Shanahan could actually have been?
Yes. Because
how?
Because I think that, you know, when you're about to play the biggest game of your life in 7 days, like, I would just say you could maybe practice a bit of restraint. Like, I just think, I'm not saying that it's going to necessarily even affect your play 100%. It's more just also maybe don't go
just
public
don't say
with
it.
Yeah, you definitely don't have to go public with it. And it's just, you know, of course, like we all, it might be a dirty secret that we all don't acknowledge, but like, yeah, of course these guys probably go out and do things
think
on
about
game
week to week.
We just don't
know about. Think
about
it week to week.
Miami.
You got
to
enjoy your, you
got to
enjoy these millions at some point.
Absolutely.
Right.
100%.
They're not just saving all of it for the offseason. So
it's just a really bad look. That's my problem. It's just,
you don't think Shanahan was a bad look?
I think it's not a great look if he is in fact intoxicated, but I
we don't know.
But at the same time, like, I do think there is a different standard, for players and coaches. Like,
that's fine.
The players, again, they've got to be in tippy top shape for, again, the most important game of their life. Kyle Shanahan's coaching against Andy, like, Andy Reid is not in any shape. Like, it doesn't matter if Kyle Shanahan's not 100%. If it's affecting his pre-planning of the game plan, sure. But I think that there's a difference between, you know, an athlete possibly saying in Las Vegas, I'm going to go crazy, but I'm going to go party for 2 days and then I'll focus on, like, it just, you know, Dennis Rodman still partied and played and, you know, it just kind of became a thing, but it doesn't make it any less okay. Like, it's still not something you would prefer your athlete about to, again, perform in the biggest stage in sports. You just prefer him not say it.
Yeah.
I guess it's okay if
I think
he
I
does
can be
it,
com-
but
convinced.
It's
if he gets
it's okay,
toasted, if he gets toasted, it's a bad look.
It's horrible. No,
it's
he's going to hear
look.
It, and that's the problem. And then that reflects on the team as well. Like, it becomes a bigger thing than just, oh, Charvarius Ward said he was going to party, and now he gets dusted. It becomes a Charvarius Ward said he was going to party, regardless of whether he did it or not. He got toasted. Well, wow, the Niners didn't hold their players accountable in the most important week. This is why they can't win 6 championships. Mm-hmm. This is a curse. All this stuff. Like, it just spirals into something that it just didn't need to be.
Yeah.
You can hint at, you can, everyone knows you're in Vegas. You can say, hey, man, Vegas is going to be crazy. It's going to be hard to try and avoid all those distractions, but we just got to lock down and try and do it. Like, there's ways of saying it without saying it.
Right.
I just feel like his biggest problem was he said the quiet part out loud. Honestly.
Yeah, and to that can happen on both sides. So there's that situation with Charvarius Ward. And then last night, and I don't know who asked the question, but Patrick Mahomes got asked about his dad last night.
Really?
And it was just, you know, hey, your dad, the situation.
That's a brave reporter.
And Patrick Mahomes just said, hey, he's gonna keep it in house, keep it within the family. He's doing good based on what his situation is. And somebody came out and said, there are so many different ways to ask that question to get more out of it. Like, how do you focus on the, you know, how do you
outside noise,
compartmentalize with everything going on? So, yeah, I hear you on that. You said the quiet part out loud. And at the end of the day, you getting torched is a lot different. You are for Kyle Shanahan, it's more about being the leader. Because you have some drinks on Monday that's not going to affect your ability to play, to call plays on Sunday.
Right.
You're not on the field.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Right. So, Charvarius Ward, if you get torched by Rashee Rice or somebody like that, Kadarius Toney, who said he could be the number one, he got baited into that question, by the way. He got somebody asked, Kadarius Toney, are you the number one wide receiver? He said, if I get the ball. So, I don't know. I'm not even counting that because he got baited into that. So, yeah, I thought a lot of things came out, a lot of good things came out. And look, people are going to enjoy themselves, but I did find it funny.
And they should.
I did find it funny. What is the line as far as going to bat for your guy and just everybody now saying, I don't care. What if when's the end? I don't know what the availability is today.
Yeah.
If it happens again tomorrow, right? I think if it happened again tomorrow or tonight, all right, there's a little much now. And I don't think it will because I think Kyle Shanahan probably went home.
Yes.
And
he saw all of those clips,
this is a thing. Because, you know, if you've ever been in that situation, I'm convincing people, maybe some people, right? Maybe the problem was he had to do so much talking.
Right.
If it was a normal hit,
right,
he probably could get in and get out. He was talking all night long.
Right.
So you win, this whole thing goes away, you're the cool coach.
Yep.
You lose, this thing might come back. But will you lose because on Monday you may or may not have enjoyed yourself? No.
No.
But it's just another thing. So hopefully you win and you don't have the conversation. Charvarius Ward does not get toasted. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we are doing a special edition of Fair or Foul since there's going to be so much going on next week. So, or later in the week, we have a Fair or Foul coming up right now. We're going to talk about Vrabel and just a weird situation with Mike Vrabel and why he may not have gotten the job and Jose Alvarado doing his shtick up a lot of points. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Talk a lot about, I don't know how this all started, right, with the journey between Verts and Zonts, and
right.
You know, you try to get away from it, but we've never seen something on this side,
no,
especially in a sport like football.
Right.
Chris sent this to me, and I actually thought it was a joke.
It literally looks like a joke. It looks like something from The Onion, seriously.
And now it turns out it isn't a joke. This is from Diana Rossini. And what she had to say about Mike Vrabel not getting a job is
insane.
In part because he's too large?
Too vert.
That's
on Vrabel's side, what is your sense of why Mike Vrabel doesn't have a head coaching job right now?
I don't think that there was a fit for him. I don't think he sat in front of any owner who thought that his style was going to work for what they were looking for.
What an interesting word to use, though, right? Because that's what we're talking about. It's like the way that these guys are personality-wise, the way that they come off, how big of a figure they cut within the building.
Do you know I had a GM at the Senior Bowl who mentioned to me Vrabel's physical build, that he's a very large human being and can be very intimidating to people in an organization that are going to be part of these decisions. And that is a factor, which I laughed. I said, stop. That's not something that's real. Who cares what someone physically looks like? And he said, I'm just telling you, I've been in rooms. And somebody's physical presence can make a difference. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Outside of football, it has an effect, right? They always say really tall men have better opportunities in
executive
roles.
Yeah, tell me about it. As I sit here living my 5'11 life for the last 35 years and all, everything that comes with it.
Really tall, stunning, beautiful women are on TV, which is why I'm on a podcast now, right? This is what happens, Robert. Jesus.
That was great, by the way. That was just great. He had me until 5'11. Come on, what type of struggle you live in, brother? Get out of here with that. I'm just looking this up because I walked by Dan Campbell. And how could anybody be more intimidating than Dan
right.
Campbell? I walked by Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell is 6'5". And I can't imagine. And so Mike Vrabel is 6'4".
Right.
And they look like they have the same exact build.
Right. Right.
Right. So maybe it depends on the organization. As
sure.
funny as it sounds, Detroit. Right. Large men. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this seems insane to me.
It definitely seems insane to me.
We
too.
Need to know which GM that
there
is.
No way. If you are seriously not hiring somebody because they are too physically imposing,
yeah.
That is insane. That
right.
it just doesn't make any sense. There's no logic behind it. I mean, we could go into deeper conversation, but it doesn't make any fundamental sense, especially in a game like football where it's like, you know, why would anybody, like, why would size be something that
everybody,
you would
right.
want, like,
if they're former players,
doesn't make any sense.
If most of the coaches are former players, this just seems extremely bizarre. And if anybody thinks that I'm the GM who said this, you're wrong. It was not me. I will say, though, one of my roommates in college, he was a pitcher, of course. He was 6'7". And
okay,
when we would walk to get stuff, I would say, you know, man, I just don't really like walking around with you.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean? I think one time we were walking in the, you know, Philly neighborhood and somebody said, this looks funny, right? Just to our face. And I said, you know what, man, I can't just walk around with you by myself anymore. And it actually really hurt him.
Yeah.
No, seriously, yeah. It really hurt him. He said, Alan, that actually made
There's
me feel really bad.
There's nothing I can do about it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I said, you feel really bad? I feel really bad. You know, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but it sure does look funny.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
is it just from this Vrabel thing, is it like a matter of they're afraid that, like, the GM's opinion is going to be, no pun intended here, the opinion of the GM is going to be dwarfed because of, like, his big presence?
I don't know.
Like, he's going to say, we should really take a quarterback in the first round. No, I don't think so. I think we'd be a lot better taking an O-lineman and bringing in some big bodies.
I don't know.
Like, oh, okay. Like,
that's foul.
That's
so
insane.
So that's fair or foul. That is foul.
That's definitely
and I can't
foul.
Even believe that. So I can't believe a GM said that.
That's insane. No, if I were Diana Rossini, I know you're not supposed to reveal your sources. You probably need to reveal that source because that person doesn't deserve to have a job anywhere.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane.
That's insane. Crazy.
That you would even tell a reporter that is insane.
Right. You know, and if you've had a kind of a tough go and, you know, it's hard. If you're sitting on your couch and you're mad because some dude is just a large human, that's one thing. But you're an NFL GM.
Yeah.
You made it yourself.
Yeah.
You're doing pretty well
doing
for yourself.
Great.
You're probably over 6 foot anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the problem is. This is crazy to me.
It's nuts.
Maybe it was a message from the owner.
There's a very simple way of figuring this out, too.
How?
Just look up GM sizes. This got to be
GM sizes.
This has got to be a GM.
Where did Diana Rossini say she was?
I did not pick that up. Let me.
She said she was somewhere. Did she say
she was at, I was at the Senior Bowl. Senior
so
Bowl.
There was probably every GM
could have been
there.
Any GM.
But
yeah.
We got to find pictures. We can figure this out.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Pictures of who she was talking with. But that is extremely foul. Nate, fair or foul on the size of?
Foul. 5'11 foul.
5'11 foul. Yeah. And I think Chris has a foul on that one.
That's crazy.
As well, that was a great find. I truly thought that was a joke.
It looks like one.
The second on fair or foul, Jose Alvarado does his thing that we aren't really sure if his thing itself is fair or foul or Bush League, where he hides in the corner and steals the basketball from players that aren't paying attention. So he does this in a game, and he does it, and I'm double checking who it was. It was against the Toronto Raptors. The score at the time when he does it is 130-91 with 2:10 left in the fourth quarter. Jose Alvarado does his pickpocket thing, and they were up 41. Fair or foul?
Completely foul. Brother, the game.
You think it's foul even when it's a good game?
I sure do. But to do it when you're up 41 and to sell it, he then like runs across the sideline, like, you know, dapping up owners and stuff. It's like, I don't know. Maybe this is like his revenge for, I don't know. This is very, very, this is bullying is what it is. This is the school that has all of the big kids who hit their growth spurt early.
Yep.
And then you're just sitting there. You went to a normal middle school, whatever.
Yep.
And you got to go play the team that's going to, you know, send 5 guys to the NFL and a couple guys to MLB. And you're like, okay, we're just normal humans and we're going against, you know, just future athletes. And, I mean, it's big bully energy, and I'm not going to stand from it from the shortest guy on the basketball floor. So
whoa. Why'd you have to add that in?
Because
there?
It's just, I feel like he's taking the opportunity while he's ahead.
No.
You know, I feel like he's probably been put down many times in his life.
Wow. No. So
and
now
this is his
now.
Way of
no.
trying to be like,
no.
yeah, I'm a front runner now. Get out of here.
No. Actually, I think it's fair.
No, get out
we,
of here.
We talk so much about keeping the same energy, and he kept the same energy. No. I don't care what the score is. That could be 2 points away from an incentive in his contract to get a new contract, to get whatever it is. this guy has been through the ringer. He's got a scrap to get here, and he's going to scrap to stay here. It's fair to me.
It's
I don't have a problem with it.
Intentionally deceiving. The man literally stands in the corner
and you know that.
Waiting.
That's why you're down 40
because ain't
points.
No one got time to think about Jose Alvarado when you're down 40.
Well, he's going to make you think about him. He's going to make you think about him. I don't have a problem with it, and I can't believe you have a problem with
it. No, it's terrible. I hate it.
I can't believe you have a problem with it.
And like if anybody does that in pickup, they're getting knocked to the floor.
No, the equivalent of it in pickup, because I know exactly what it is. It's when you're not doing shirts and skins and everybody's wearing normal, you know, wearing their clothes, and it's the first game, second game, and someone says, ball, and nobody, you're still getting used to your team. That's what it is. It's Bush League, and I call it out. But that's different, because you're not getting paid.
No, this reminds me of, like, when you're doing check, like, you know, you're checking the ball up.
He had 11, 4, and 4.
Get out of here.
He broke double digits
get
with that.
Get out of here. No.
He broke double digits with that.
It's like when
that.
People just throw the ball at your feet, and it's like, no, you touched it. Like, that's an inbound. It's like, no, dog. Like, we all know how this works. Like, you give me the ball, and I inbound it. And we
it's
play
fair
the
to
game.
Me. I'm not going to agree with you on this one.
I hate it.
I'm not
going
to agree
so
with you on this one. That one's fair to me. No. It's all you're on the basketball court. You playing right, and it's 2 minutes left. It's 2 minutes up 40, but it's 2 minutes left. It's not the last minute.
I hate it.
Even if it was the last minute,
I hate it so much.
Well, okay, would you hate it more if you were up 40 or down 40?
Definitely up 40. Down 40, at least you could say, you know, you're trying to make a comeback. Oh, look at Jose Alvarado, like, trying.
But that's the same thing to me. No. You're trying to make sure. Different. That gave him 11
points.
It's
almost rubbing it in. It's like, come on, dude, they're already down 40. Do they really need to be down 42?
Getting to a break, as Chris and I do not agree on Grand Theft Alvarado. No, getting his double-digit points. Get in where you fit in, Jose. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Colin Cowherd had some things to say if Brock Purdy does not win that go against what our Chris Biederman had to say earlier in the show. 12:15, King's Triangle, a.k.a. King's Roundtable. Just Brendan Nunes with us for 30 minutes. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.